music, news, entertainment. It's all right here. It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
We kick things off with retro pop soul artist Andra Day talking about how the legendary Stevie Wonder helped take her career to a new level, why director Spike Lee decided to direct her video for Forever Mine, and which three albums she'd take with her to Mars. EDM King, Sultan, and Shepherd talk about balancing their careers as touring DJs and music producers and their Canadian connection to Tegan and Sarah. We wrap things up with Montreal jazz artist Susie Arioli chatting about her latest CD called Spring and which jazz legends have influenced her the most. We are very excited to welcome this lovely lady to the Kelly Alexander Show, Miss Andra Day.
Hi, how are you?
I am so great. First of all, can I tell you that you are ridiculously funky?
Oh, thank you.
I love it.
Oh, ridiculously funky. That's a first.
That's very good. That's so good. Do you know that you're sort of like left of center, like just with how you present yourself? Because it's so great. You're really original. I hate using that word, but
thank you though. I appreciate that. It's funny, like you say, you hate using that word because I kind of feel the same. I feel like everyone is original if they allow themselves to be, you know, exactly who they are. But I don't think I mean, once you have people make fun of you, then you know you're probably left of center. And since that's happened a lot, then yes, I guess I'm aware of that now. Yeah.
Do you have fans that come up to you and go like, you make my day just because I know you're being you and it's helping me be me?
Actually, to be honest, that's exactly it. And you know, I have had fans come up to me and tell me that, you know, the music or what I'm doing has inspired them to, you know, to, like you said, pursue who they are truly. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so I think that's very important because I feel like we spend all this time doing things like other people to make ourselves stand out as opposed to just being fearless and, you know, allowing ourselves to be ourselves. So that's it's great. And that's why I do it. So
how did you come to music?
Oh, man, that's a tough question because I've always been in the arts, right? Always in the performance arts. Like even, you know, I was a dancer when I was very young, even in elementary school. So I think music was, once I discovered I can sing when I was like really young, like 10, maybe 9 or 10. I think it was just sort of a natural progression of being an artist, right? I loved, you know, dancing and I loved theater and musical theater and all these things. So, I mean, I knew I could sing when I was like 9, 10 years old, but I didn't start singing in front of people in church until I was like 13 years old. So
who influenced you the most growing up musically? Because I feel like from the age of like 13 to 16, when you find whoever it is in there that you love, they are with you for life.
Yeah, it's pretty much, actually, once I discovered, which I loved, you know, my father loved Motown and you know, classic R&B. He loved, you know, Marvin Gaye and Temptations and Luther. And my mother loved, you know, Fleetwood Mac and Journey and the Carpenters. And so I loved all of those bands and that sound as well, too. But when I discovered very young, when I was 13, when I discovered Billie Holiday and Nina Simone, that was when it was like, you know, there's all these amazing voices. Mm-hmm. And then you have these voices that sort of just kind of, I always say, croak through the speaker. And it was just sort of like, pay attention to me. And I'm like, okay. So yeah, it was, you know, the sound of their voices and their songwriting that, you know, to me was, that's what has stuck with me my entire life.
Mm-hmm. Now people, you know, in the articles I've read, because everybody's always got to compare a new artist to somebody can anchor something to, right? Mm-hmm. So I've heard, you know, Amy Winehouse, I've heard Eartha Kitt, I've heard, like you said, Billie Holiday. Mm-hmm. Does it annoy you to be they're obviously awesome, but does it annoy you to have to be anchored to someone? Like, do you wish people just like, it's just her?
You know, it doesn't really bother me, no.
Right, yeah. That's amazing.
I mean, I feel like it bothers people around me sometimes, but to me, I'm kind of like, that's just, it's life. You know, I feel like, you know, to have this, I hear a lot, right, about this person stole my style or they stole this, and you see it, you know, it happens, but I feel like at the end of the day, life is about inspiration. Mm-hmm. Like, if I look out the street and I see someone in an amazing hairdo or an amazing outfit, I'm like, oh, I want to try that. I mean, that's life. You're inspired by other people, so I'm inspired by those people as well too. So, you know, to be compared to amazing vocalists who I love, no, it doesn't bother me at all.
Cheers to the Fall. Why did you name it that?
You know, so Cheers to the Fall was actually the song on the album. It came first, and then we were actually in the mixing studio, and I was just praying and racking my brain. What's the title of the album gonna be? Right, you know, it's equally as important as each song. And he said, well, why not Cheers to the Fall? And I was like, well, that was easy, right? but it was perfect because it embodied everything. You know, Cheers to the Fall is about truth and vulnerability and fearlessness. And, you know, it's about Cheers to the Fall really means cheers to the possibility of failure. Cheers to criticism and not being, not allowing the fear of that to box you in or hold you in a prison. You know what I mean? And so, so in my life, having to be honest with people, you know, and to go try new things that I could have failed at, you know, like for instance, being honest with my ex about cheating on him. And, you know, that was one of the scariest things I had done, facing myself and facing that guilt. But the freedom that comes from after that for me and for him, you know, was, you can't buy that, you know what I mean? And then pursuing music. Oh, well, you know, you might fail. Nobody makes money, blah, 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 whatever. But, you know, I wouldn't change a thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's just not letting fear and vulnerability kind of put you in a prison. That's what it's about.
Do you have a favorite song on the CD? Because I know they're all your babies, but yeah, like, they are. I guess I'll rephrase the question. What song will you happily sing till you die and never get tired of it?
Well, I'm supposed to say all of them, right? I'm just kidding. Mm-hmm. In rehearsal, you asked me, I'm tired of them all. No, I'm just kidding.
Like, I'm over this.
No. But I think it's probably City Burns.
Really?
That's probably, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I would probably have to say that. I think because of the way the song came to me, like I said, I pray about everything, you know, and that. Mm-hmm. And so it came off the heels of a call. I had a call with Ellen DeGeneres, and she was telling me, oh, you know, I love what you do. I'm such a fan. And I remember that being like, whoa, you know, that's crazy. And so I get off the phone. I'm jumping on the hotel bed. I'm like, oh, this is great, you know. And then it was like this vision I feel like God gave me of moving forward and pursuing this and doing this without my, you know, my faith is important to me. And so without that foundation, and it was like the same beauty was like a very scary thing, you know. And so the whole lyric came to me in that moment when I just started praying was, search for the ground underneath your feet as the city burns, like remember your foundation. And so I think the way it came to me and the fact that when I went in the studio with the producer, the musical idea he was playing with that day was exactly what I had envisioned it to be. And so I think for that reason that I would say that's my favorite. Girl, it might change tomorrow. No, I'm kidding.
Right? That today. We're going with that today. Now, you mentioned Ellen DeGeneres, so I want to ask you this. Who's the coolest celebrity that has told you that they appreciate you? Because, like, I read too, like, Erykah Badu loves you, Common. Like, these are, like, big people that love you.
I'm going to have to say two, because these two women also that have stuck with me throughout the course of musically my career and my life. And but Lauryn Hill and Erykah Badu, both of them are like, I remember just the fact that I got to meet them, I couldn't believe it. And so, you know, talking to Lauryn for even just the brief moment, I just thanked her for what it is that she did in music and being as fearless as she was. And, you know, so just to talk to her about being witnesses was like an amazing moment. And then, like, oh man, Erykah was just, it was amazing. And I remember we were doing the BET Awards. It was the BET Awards, and I was going to an elevator to go back to the dressing room, and she was the person coming up in the elevator. And when she comes out of the elevator, she looked at me, she was like, and I was like, oh, Auntie Erykah, girl, we just friends. But it was very cool. Both of them, it was an amazing experience.
That's
like,
awesome.
I'm making myself look like a fool here.
That's all good. You know what's funny is Erykah came to sing here, like, I think in 2006, and her bus was late. And it's funny. So, like, we had to stand for, like, 2 hours outside in the cold. And then the Roots kept playing because they were opening for her.
Right.
And, like, people were starting to get angry. You know, like, where's Erykah?
Right, right.
But I swear to God, in 30 seconds, when she got on the stage and just was like, hello, Montreal. Like, everyone was like, I don't love you. It was totally fine.
See, I'm the same way. When I love someone, people are like, oh, the experience really messed me up with them. I'm the person who's in the back like, girl, I still love you. Be everything to me. Okay. I'm like, doesn't change. Yep,
Who would you like to go out to dinner with and pick their brain?
Oh.
Which artist?
Who?
And maybe go dancing after.
And go dancing as well,
like, maybe
too.
Just a little, or clubbing, yeah.
Oh, gosh. Let's see. Lauryn is definitely one, you know, because it's hard not to listen to her lyrics and to just be moved and feel empowered as a person, not even just, you know, not gender or race, just as a person, you know. And so she's definitely one of them. And Erykah, of course, as well, too. Let's see. Who else am I thinking? Gosh, that's a good question. You know what? Right now, Kendrick would be one.
Nice. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I can
Kendrick
see that.
Would definitely be one.
Can
yeah.
you guys feature together? That'd be nice.
Yeah, let's someday. I hope so.
Right?
Someday. I feel like if it's meant to happen, it's going to happen. So, yeah.
If you were traveling to Mars, which I hear takes 260 days.
That's too long.
This is what I
kidding,
hear.
Right?
And you had three albums that you could take with you. What would they be and why?
Three albums I could take. Ooh, that's hard. Okay. Shoot, I'm making you work. Hard, you really are. Yeah, three albums. I'm like, just three. What? Let's see. Songs in the Key of Life would be one. Okay. God, I'm terrible at remembering album names too. Okay, Little Girl Blue. Okay, that Nina Simone one. Mm-hmm. Particularly because of the song "Don't Smoke in Bed." let's see. What's the last one? I should just think of something real crazy and ratchet, like 2 Chainz. let's see. What's the other one I would really take? And probably the Miseducation. Yeah.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew that was coming.
Yeah, definitely.
if I say the words Stevie Wonder to you, what does that mean to you?
Oh, gosh. Stevie Wonder. Well, first of all, thank you. Yep. It comes to mind because of, you know, him and his wife and what they've done, you know, as far as introducing me to the producer I worked on the album with. And but gosh, I mean, musically to me, Stevie was like a prophet. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think legend, I feel like, is almost in. It's just
like a word, the original, right?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, transcendence, I think, is something that comes to mind as well, too. Yeah, all of those things.
Now, before I let you go, we like to play this little game here on the show called Would You Rather.
Okay.
So you're going to do this for us. It's very quick.
I tell you, I'll warn you and your listeners, I cheat, man, all right?
I cannot wait to hear these answers. This is going to be amazing.
Don't play jingle with me. I'll knock the whole tower over if I feel threatened.
All right, you ready for this? Okay. So would you rather learn to play the harmonica or the oboe?
Harmonica.
Would you rather live in L.A. or New York?
Oh, right now?
Mm-hmm.
Dang, that's a hard one. If you would have asked me like a month ago, it probably would automatically be New York.
Okay.
For now, I'll say L.A.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Would you rather open for Bon Jovi or U2?
Bon Jovi.
Okay. I actually thought you were going to say U2.
Really?
would you rather be stuck in an elevator with Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton?
Hillary.
Good job. Andra, yes, thank ma'am. You so much for spending time with us on the Kelly
thank
Alexander
you.
Show.
Thank you for having me.
My heart has been a chessboard, making moves and losing out. So many times before, and there ain't nothing to brag about. But this must be an elbow when you count them singing blue moon. You turn me all the way around, and I'm tired of the fine line. I just want you to be. There's nothing I can sing now that ain't been sung before. Oh, but your love is a standout, so go on ahead and take the floor. For my heart, can't find it no more. You ransom my heart and I get the reward. Winning the crown like a Trojan horse. I come back, back, back every time. You got me shook like the mob when they rhyme. Come out of nowhere, come bless in my life. I just want you to be forever mine. I'm tired of the fight line.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show. Follow us on Instagram, Kelly Alexander Show.
We're very excited to welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show, Sultan and Shepherd. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Thank you so much for making time for us. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
So first of all, I wanted to take the time to actually find out how you guys connected, because we're in Montreal, which is awesome. A lot of our fans are from around the world. And I know that you two got your start here, even though you no longer live here. So how did you guys hook up?
Tell the story. Well, Sultan was DJing in Montreal. This was in 2002. And I was at McGill, and I was producing music, and I'd seen him DJ, open up for some bigger DJs, and the music he was playing was different. It was more melodic. Mm-hmm. At the time, everything was kind of like really kind of hard techno or funky house, and the music he was playing was really cool and emotional, and I liked it. So I went up to him at the next show he was playing at, and I gave him a CD, and I was like, hey, I like your stuff. It's cool. And we kind of hung out for a bit, and the next day he like called me and was like, hey, like I listened to your CD. It's really cool. Like we should hang out, and we just became friends.
Awesome.
And then we would like give each other feedback on our songs, and then we just got in the studio and we had sort of a natural chemistry, and things kind of evolved from there. But yeah, it just started off like really organically like that.
Now you guys are known around the world, and it's awesome coming from Montreal, because Montreal, I know we have a good dance scene, like dance party, like people go to clubs and all that stuff, but we don't really hear a lot of dance acts or EDM acts come out of here. I would say, I think it's getting a bit more, but like probably when you guys started it wasn't really happening that much. What do you take from Montreal and in with regards to your sound? Like, I know you guys live in LA now, but like, do you still feel like Montreal bred some kind of sound in you guys together?
I think so. I think actually the winters here is what really was like,
really,
weather in the winter was very inspiring in a lot of ways.
Okay.
And it got us in the studio, and you'd always be moody and vibey, and I think a lot of our earlier stuff was a lot more emotional that way.
Okay. How do you guys work as a team? Like, do you each sort of have a job that you do, or are you constantly changing? Like, maybe you're writing melodies, maybe you're doing beats. Like, does it switch, and do you have like a process?
I mean, I play keyboards, he plays guitar, so a lot of the stuff that we'll do is kind of like, we act like a band, we just jam out ideas. But yeah, I mean, he does a lot of the mixing, and
he does a lot of the editing.
Yeah. Okay. And then we argue about the arrangement for like a long time, but we're pretty fluid. Like, it's not like someone does beats and someone does melodies. We have both have like pretty equal ideas about those things, and we have like a pretty just good vibe attitude about like, if one person is like no, then it's a no.
Okay.
Unless the other person can convince them why, you know. So it's like we kind of like to, you know, sometimes I have a crazy idea and he'll just be like, all right, we'll do it, then I'll let you know, or something like that. So we like to discuss things.
How long does it take you guys to actually do a track? Like, is it, not that every time is going to take you 2 hours, but like, do you kind of know if it's working within a certain amount of time, and then you're going to either go with the track or you're going to blow it out?
Yeah, it depends on the track.
Okay.
And I think it works differently with originals or with remixes.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say if we really like have a strong original that we love, then we like to sit with it. So even if we get it done, let's say in a week or a week and a half, then we'll sit with it for a month just to hear it again, get our, you know, fresh ears on it, and make sure it's the best that it can be.
Okay.
We used to rush tracks before, whereas now we've learned that it's a lot better to sit with records, because, you know, the better they are, the better they're going to be out there.
True.
So.
Now, you guys have done some incredible remixes. I know before you and I were actually talking about your work with Lady Gaga, you've done stuff for that. Do you enjoy, you know, doing these bigger artists? Like, did it help you sort of get to the next level and now you can focus on your original tracks?
It's super cool to work, you know, on tracks like by Lady Gaga or Bruno Mars or Robin, you know, all the people that we've worked with. They're just exciting because the song quality, the vocal quality is really amazing. So when you're working on the song, you feel actually really excited to be a part of it. And it got our names out there as remixers a lot, for sure.
Okay.
So I think that was something that was just like a certain part of our career that we were really happy with. And it's something that we still do once in a while when there's a project that we're passionate about, or there's a song we're like, wow, we really love this song, then we'll remix it because we just love doing it.
And
I think it's, sorry,
yeah, go ahead,
it,
go ahead.
It's also influenced the process in which we make music. Yeah. So we'll get vocalists to record over a simple like idea that we put down, knowing that as soon as we get the vocal and it's the right vocal, we're going to take it and completely remix it as well. So it's like we're remixing our own records, and I think we got the flow of that by doing all these remixes.
Okay. And now, is there someone out there in Popland that you would love to work with that you haven't yet, that would be like, yeah, that's my girl or that's my guy? Because, I mean, you guys are, I think, Grammy nominated, right, with Bruno Mars?
Yeah, with the Bruno Mars.
Which is amazing. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of artists. I mean, The Weeknd is great.
Okay.
I don't know, who else do we have on our list?
Bieber.
Nice. Very good.
I really like Miguel. Who else? There's a lot
Miguel would be awesome.
Miguel's amazing. Who else is on our list? We always like, oh, we should work with this person. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of times we hear people who are like smaller artists too, that we just think have really cool voices, or there's something that we just really like. Like there's an artist from Sweden who's a new artist called Sina Buse.
Yeah.
And her voice is incredible. Like, love to work with someone like that.
We also, we went out to a Rudimental concert 2 weeks ago.
Rudimental, yes.
And we just danced danced like crazy.
That's amazing.
And we love their stuff, and so we actually hit them up to do a remix for one of their records, and it all worked out in the end.
That's awesome.
So they were on our list.
It's funny you brought them up, because I actually wanted to ask you about some of these UK acts, because I just feel like they're amazing. Like Rudimental's amazing, Clean Bandit is amazing, and they just seem to be really blowing up the last little while, along with their vocalists like Jess Glynn and Ed Sheeran, obviously.
Totally.
And you know, just the list goes on over there. Adele just dropped her stuff too. Like, it just seems like it's like this British invasion all over again. So what's your take on like British EDM acts or dance acts?
Super fresh. I think definitely just was a nice breath of fresh air to, you know, contrast some of the stuff that's been going on in you know, the rest of Europe and also in the US. I think the UK sounds a little housier, a little bit more kind of funky and vibey. And I think people really responded to it. So, I mean, we love it. We listen to all that stuff. And it's,
we've loved it for years. Yeah. Ever since the beginnings of our, when we first started, the British scene was, like, always huge. So it's nice to see it come back.
Was there, when you guys decided to move out of Montreal, was there a discussion, like, maybe we should go over to England? Or was it always you were going to the States?
It was always the States.
Yeah, okay. Tell us why you went there, like, L.A. specifically.
I think the biggest reason was that dance music was blowing up in 2012
out
here in North America. Our majority of our shows prior to that was all in Europe.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, there's this huge, you know, explosion in North America.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting a lot more gigs and opportunities in the States. And then we got residencies in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And it only made sense that, all right, we'll go to L.A. where everyone's going anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We love it there. And then Vegas is pretty much right next door.
Okay.
And we're doing about 18 to 20 shows a year in Vegas.
Wow.
So it just kind of made sense to just, you know, 40-minute flight in, 40-minute flight out.
Okay.
And then that was it. So many more opportunities.
Do you guys have time for anything? Because it just seems like you really have to be managing your time, because like you're producing originals, you're like you said, you're still doing remixes occasionally, and you're still doing your club gigs. So how do you keep all of that straight? There's a smile going on.
No, it's just, you know, you prioritize things that are important to you. So when an opportunity comes up, you know, if Coldplay calls and says, hey, we want you to remix a record, like, you put the other stuff aside and you remix the Coldplay record. Like, it's just, you know, things like that. So you kind of end up prioritizing and just kind of working. You have to be kind of present and working with what you have and not think too far ahead and get, you know, too concerned about all the things you have to do. I think, you know, it's funny when you talk to other artists and other DJs and friends like that, it makes you feel better because you realize everybody's kind of like that. Everyone's working on a million different things and has half-finished ideas, and so there's kind of just this flow, and sometimes we'll have a collaboration with someone and we'll start it, and then like a year later we'll finish it, but then it's sort of like, you know, synchronistically like finishes itself, you know, the timing kind of comes around and you're like, now's the best time to finish it, let's get it done. And so sometimes the space between things allows for a nice artistic development to happen.
How do you guys feel with regards to your community in EDM? Like, are you guys really supportive of each other? Like, are you like buddies with Chainsmokers and buddy with Cash? And like, are you all, or is there like a healthy competition kind of thing? Like, how does it work in this community? It feels like it's pretty inclusive, but.
Yes, I think we like to be friends with everybody. We've always been fans of a lot of different producers, and we're vocal about it.
Mm-hmm.
We also get to meet a lot of these guys on tour, so it's great. You get to connect with them, you become friends. If you get the opportunity to work with them, you get to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a great balance there.
And what's your favorite? Do you like doing club gigs, or is it the festivals that really get your juices going?
I think it's a bit of both. We've been doing clubs for so long that it's kind of in our blood.
Okay.
Festivals are always fun because you get to play for so many people,
mm-hmm.
but then clubs is also a lot more intimate.
Do you still get jazzed when you drop a new song of yours? Like, we were talking before about your track with Tegan and Sarah, Make Things Right. When you drop that, what does it feel like when you're playing a new song that you've guys created?
It feels amazing, especially when you see people singing along to it. It's kind of trippy, actually, when you look out and you see people and they're, like, mouthing the words. And you're like, whoa, they know these songs.
That's
it's really
amazing.
Cool. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you as well, you know, you've got the track with Tegan and Sarah. You also have a new track as well with Krisha Turner, who's also Canadian. Is there a specific reason why you guys keep coming back to Canada to get your vocalist? Because I think it's amazing. I think a lot of people would abandon the hometown and go somewhere else.
I think it was random. I mean, especially with Tegan and Sarah, we met them in L.A., so it wasn't even the whole Canadian connection. And then Krisha was, you know, somebody we met out here, but we didn't even know she was Canadian when we first met her.
Okay.
So it just happens to randomly work out that we're all Canadian, but I think Canada's got great acts.
I mean, there's a lot of good Canadian artists.
Wow, that's awesome. And what can we expect next from you guys in the next, like, 6 to 12 months? Like, I know the two tracks are out now with Tegan and with Krisha. What can we expect?
Chasing. A record just came out on Mixmash, Layback Luke's record label called Chasing. We have another one coming out in 2 weeks called Be With You as well on Luke's label. We have a record with Nadia Ali coming out on Armada. Mm-hmm. We have a collaboration with Showtek.
Okay.
We just have a lot of stuff.
A lot.
Yeah. Rudimental remix, which we just finished. And then a remix we just did for Whitney Houston as well.
Amazing.
So okay. A whole bunch of stuff.
And what would you say to fans that are listening? Because, you know, I'm a huge fan of EDM. I've always loved it, even back when it was just like Crystal Waters, CeCe Peniston. That's the way things were happening. I've always hated when people say, oh, it's just dance music. They just use a computer, like blah, blah, blah. Like, what do you say to people that still think that? Because it really bothers me, and I don't even do what you guys do. So, like, what would you say to the detractors that are still out there against EDM?
I mean... You know, technology has always influenced music. When they created a piano, you know, I mean, that was a technology. Or when they created electric guitar, then that was technology, and people used to trash it.
Okay.
People like to, you know, talk trash about new things because it kind of scares them. But there's an enormous amount of skill and time that has to be put into making computer music well.
Yes.
And same kind of dedication that comes into playing the piano. I mean, it's a different set of skills. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can't compare them, but you can certainly compare the amount of hours and dedication in it. And so I think all the young kids who are growing up making music on their laptops are just as creative and enthusiastic about it as people, you know, who are practicing piano or practicing guitar 8 hours a day. Because all these kids are, you know, when we started making music, it was like we were just doing it because we loved it. And we were spending 12, 14 hours a day doing this. And, you know, so it's like it was just as important to us as, you know, when I was taking piano lessons when I was a kid or when he was learning how to play drums and guitar. It's like there's no difference. If you're a creative person and you want to express yourself, you're going to find the way to do it.
Okay.
So
also, just because you're writing on a computer doesn't mean you can't write a song.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's like, so it's
I'm so glad you
thing.
Said that. Right. So. And before I let you go, I have to play a quick game with you guys called How Well Do You Know Your Bro? You ready for this?
Ready.
Okay. So this is for you, Ned. What is Sultan's favorite drink?
What is his favorite drink?
Yeah. Do you know?
Moe Ice.
Nice. Okay. Sultan, what is Ned's middle name?
Tanner.
Tanner, good job. Okay, this is awesome. So 2 for 2. What is Sultan's favorite TV show these days?
Oh, it's like Suits. What are you watching? Suits and like Green Arrow or some garbage.
Oh, no.
Suits was one of them, right?
Suits was one of them.
I don't know. I lost track after Suits. You were watching Scandal at one point. That's over. I don't know. What are you watching?
Gotham.
Okay, right. Very nice. What is Ned's favorite vacation spot?
Ooh, that's tricky.
I haven't taken a vacation.
Amsterdam.
Okay. What is Sultan's favorite place to eat in Montreal? Come
on, like, but hang on a second. That's one of them. Portugalia is one of them.
Okay.
Cuchaval is another one.
Right.
Yeah, I would say those two.
Okay. And finally, who is Ned's celebrity crush?
Ren Weaver.
Do you want to set the record straight? Who would be your celebrity crush?
I don't know either.
We follow all these random celebrities on Instagram now because Ned's all obsessed, but I have no idea.
Emma Stone is
definitely... Oh, that's good. Okay. Were you sad when she died out of the Spider-Man movie?
I heard she just broke up with her boyfriend.
So oh, so you have a chance.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us
on the
show. Sultan and Shepherd hanging out on the Kelly Alexander Show.
Black and blue, scraper two, knees begin to feel the weight. I'm anxious. Coffee breaks, working late, never seem to catch you. Makes me wonder. Counting sheep, numbers cheap, making my own messy stars. I'm dizzy. Stacking crates, money late, never seem to catch a break. Can you bring me back to that day? That day, in this place we fell forever. Slip away, can you bring me back here? Can you bring me back? Can you bring me back? Can you bring me back?
us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Click on KellyAlexanderShow.com.
Joining us on the show is Canadian jazz artist Susie Arioli, who hails from Montreal. Susie has been nominated for 3 Juno Awards throughout her career and has just released her latest offering called Spring. Susie, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Thanks, Kelly. Glad to be here.
So can you start off by telling us how you actually got into the world of jazz?
Well, we had jazz music in the house, as we had like other music, but I know that we had like there was some standard jazz songs that I would hear, like Frank Sinatra, Billie Holiday. And then in high school, there was a stage band, and they played jazz. And so I was in the orchestra, which, you know, played ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, like kind of boring. I was also third flute, so kind of the worst part. And I would ogle the guys who were kicking it at the stage band rehearsals. And I think that's, I really do think that's the... It was a live thing. The fact that guys that, you know, under other circumstances would just be some dude at school, but they were harmonizing together. They were doing something beautiful together, and I really, really liked that, and I wanted to be part of that.
Which 3 artists would you say have influenced you the most throughout your career?
Well, I would say Billie Holiday. There's a big part of that is of her was in my life for different ways and interesting ways too. I would say Ray Charles, because it's that's also someone who's been in my life since I can remember, and all the things that he does with his voice I treasure. Not that I do that, but and you know, like, I'm just assuming that things you love are going to affect you in a certain way, and I think that the warmth, the quality of warmth that Ray projects and the way I feel when I listen to him, apart from the content of his songs, I feel good. So I aspire to make people feel good, and I think that may have come from Ray. And another person there's so many people, I mean, who's influenced me, Yarding Barden, Burden Barden. It's hard to tell, because I know, I'm sure I've been influenced by a lot of people, but I do love the clarity and pureness of Ella Fitzgerald singing. It took me a long time to warm up to her, because I was kind of like a Billie Holiday cult member, as opposed to, you know, sometimes we're very like extreme. Oh, I like Billie Holiday. Well, I like, and then I found like people who like Billie Holiday. Well, there's some people that love her young, vibrant, incredible musicianship of her youth, like me, mm-hmm. and there's other people that revel in her distressed, heartbreakingly transparent, like, are they even interpretations of her later life? It's just like her life, and that disturbs me to listen to, you know, it hurts me, I feel her pain, it's not an act, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, I think Billie Holiday was the major one, because I did so much research about her, and figuring her out, and different thoughts, and understanding her, and I think I learned a lot about you don't want to say that. For me, I don't want to say the truth, the whole truth, because I'll die.
Right.
So we have to couch the truth in some kind of theatricality for it to become art, for it to be able to move someone. Because if, you know, like, I'm not going to put myself out there, like Judy Garland, let's say, you know, it's like I saw that in Keith Richards' movie, she melts every night, and then the artist is gone. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's about longevity. So I think, yeah, those are 3 people she said very long.
That's all good. I love hearing about it. And if I've done the math correctly, I feel like you've actually taken a bit of a break between your last album and Spring, the new one. Was that intentional? Did you need to step away from the industry for a bit?
Well, I think what happened is that we did All the Way, and then we did the Christmas album. And that was kind of like... you know, we just wanted to do it, and we did that in the interim, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we had a great time making it, and it was, I'm really very happy with it. It was fun to do something back in the trio thing. So in a way, it's actually, usually it's like every 2.5, every 3 years we try to, we have tried to make the record, and I'm hoping to continue that tradition. It's like no more than 3 years between new projects.
How would you...
No, I don't want to step away from the industry.
Okay,
never. I don't want to.
That's good. Well, you sound amazing, because I've had a chance to listen to not the entire album, but at least 3 or 4 tracks, and it sounds amazing. And I wanted to ask you, as an artist, how would you describe, like, your sound? Do you have a sound?
Yeah, I'm not very good at that, describing it. What I should do is take notes. If anyone ever says something to describe it, I should have a little pamphlet that says things, because, you know, it's hard to look in the mirror, Kelly.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and to actually see, like, sometimes I look in the mirror and I find like I'm tilting my head forward to somehow make myself look thinner. It's like, what? So, what's the truth? The sound is, I think one would be safe to say that there's a swing element.
Okay.
To most of what I do. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, even if it's a lugubrious and slow, I love that swing. I love the way that little bit of hesitation and that little jolt. But I love, you know, all sorts of different beats, but I do find that my voice kind of fits into the swing thing. So, I don't know, you could describe it as fantastically refreshing, absolutely gorgeous and flawless.
Nice.
I might describe myself like that.
Is it a prerequisite for jazz artists to be funny? Because I feel like all of you have this really, like, awesome sense of humor.
Oh, really? I'm glad, because I like to play with humor, and it's not often I get to see other people perform. So I must have seen some performers in my past do that, like break with the moving quality of the evening and do a little, and, you know, Frank Sinatra, they're the perfect example. Mm-hmm. He would be breaking your heart, and then he'd be like, hey, 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 you know? So I kind of like the contrast, because, like, there's a song we do, Husbands and Wives, and holy moly, like, we did that with our Learn to Smile album. It's a beautiful Roger Miller song, and we made a, I think, beautiful arrangement of that song, and it's super sad. It's like, this is a song about love and divorce and pain, and but beautiful, exquisite harmonies and very moving lyrics, and I cannot introduce that song without making a joke first.
See, that's awesome.
Because I know their hearts are going to break, and I don't want them to feel pain. I want them to appreciate it, but not feel it.
Right. Now,
so
how
maybe that's what the other people are doing too.
Maybe, I don't know, but I just find a lot of jazz artists are, like, really funny on stage. Like, there's a couple of names that are escaping me right now, but I know there's one from Toronto, and I can't believe I'm forgetting her name. I just saw her last fall, but she was really sort of witty on stage, you know. And I feel like it's like a thing if you're a jazz artist. You just it's good to be fun.
I don't know. I always, because when I started, I was with Jordan, and Jordan is like the most closed book on earth at the time on stage. And I'm like an open book, flopping around, pages flying out. And he would often, I think the comedy on stage kind of started with him and me, because there would often be times where I would make a joke to him. Like, sometimes a main thing that would happen would be he would try to mutter something to me that the audience wouldn't see. Like, this is like in clubs, right? And so he can kind of get away with it, but all eyes are on us. So he's trying to be super subtle, but I can't hear him, so I go, what? And then I have to tell the audience what just happened. Because what, the audience can see us, Jordan, you know what I mean? It's funny to pretend. So I think that's where it started. It's just like an organic thing. Like, for me, if I fall down these days, and for maybe like the past 20 years, I stay down, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oof, you know, I catch my breath, and someone's going to come and help me, and maybe make a joke, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it does make it a little easier. I guess it's like a balance thing.
Right.
You know?
Okay. Joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show is Canadian jazz artist Susie Arioli. Make sure to check out her website, susiearioli.com. Talk to us about spring. Is it thematic? Is it just a bunch of different songs? What do you want your audience to take away from it?
I think that the final color that I liked about the album is that there's the perfect, well, to my taste, balance between tragedy and comedy. And I really like that place a lot, and I try to exploit it a lot on this record. Not every single song, but a lot of them play with, you know, tragic themes, but a certain lightness, which kind of, to me, implies continuation, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because that's the reality, basically, for most of us. If something happens, we persist and we just go ahead and we find our coping skills, you know, and for me it's humor. And, you know, a lot of things are funny in life. I wanted to make a light dance album. And every time I listen to it, and believe me, Kelly, I've listened to it many, many times in all its forms, I dance to it. I find that every single, even the ballad, which is Traveling Light, which I love, I still, it's got that swing, so you can kind of have a gentle workout to the whole album. I did. It's nice.
Nice.
You know?
I love it. A fat-burning jazz album. It's awesome.
Totally. Oh, yeah. And I think, like, it's fun. I think that was the main thing I really, really, that if there was one thing that was clear about what was going to happen to this album, because a lot of it wasn't, was that it was going to have rhythm.
Okay.
At the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be first and foremost about rhythm.
Now, I know this is probably like picking your favorite child, but is there a favorite song on there for you? Like,
yep.
Or is it, no?
Yep.
Yeah, there is. Okay, great. So tell me, because all the other artists I interview always are like, no, they're all my babies. So you be refreshing and tell me which one it is.
Well, refreshingly, here I say, my favorite song is Can't Say No.
Okay.
I just love that song.
Nice.
It makes me laugh. It was like, I think it was the second take. It's like basically a live take with a little bit of overdub.
Mm-hmm.
It was like slowed down at the last minute. We just, it like transformed like moments before we recorded it. And I just love what all the guys are doing with Neil, like just going down deep. Neil Swainson, you know, just swinging on that. And Terry dancing across the skins and Reg just, anyway. I never met these people before. I met Terry briefly, but that was just so awesome. I mean, I know that word is overused, but for me, I was in awe. It was the third time they played it, and it just kicked it so hard, and I think I probably remember that, but I think that's a damn good song.
Nice.
She said.
Now, talk to us about sort of performing live. Like, I know you've got some tour dates coming up, and so what can the audience expect from that?
Well, we're going to do basically the whole record, and we're going to pare it down just slightly. We're not going to have five horns at the maximum. We're going to have three, and it's going to kick, and I know the horn players, and they're very beautiful, and it's probably going to be also some of my favorite tunes from all of my other CDs. So a lot of our past hits, you know,
and I
actually am thinking of like rearranging them. So a lot of the stuff that I'm used to performing from old CDs is going to be rearranged a bit. So it's going to be more horn and piano. Piano is this new element. I finally allowed myself to get all piano because pianos usually take up a lot of space.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as a drummer, I find it, I don't know where I am, and I haven't had the greatest experiences with piano players, just like audio space-wise, like
yeah.
I can't share well.
Yeah.
And but Don kind of found a place that I was comfortable in, or maybe I just got used to being comfortable there. So now I'm going to be traveling with the piano player also, and so that's going to be really relaxing to me to just like succumb to, because usually I'm like trying to keep the beat, keep the rhythm
yep.
the way I want it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to be a question of faith. So I'm going to be even freer than I was on last tour because I'm going to, you know, let the band do its thing.
Now, I have to ask you this, especially because you've been in the scene a while. What are your thoughts on the jazz scene in general, but like the Canadian jazz scene? And I know coming from Montreal, obviously we are spoiled, if you will, because of the Jazz Fest and everything that goes along with it. But what are your thoughts on Canadian jazz?
I don't know if I have any valuable thoughts at all, Kelly. I really don't, because I've been in this like hothouse flower container for so long with my band. Like I just was really into my band, and I haven't, this is like a first beginning for me, like reaching out to other musicians, like working with Don Thompson. That was like I had never met him before. I knew who he was though.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm just getting to know in a way other jazz musicians and learning about the rest of experience, to tell the truth, you know. I know that jazz is thriving, jazz clubs are thriving in certain places in the world, but I wouldn't say they're thriving in Canada.
Okay.
I think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, yay, there's all these clubs, you know. Like, I remember going to Toronto and playing at the top of the Senator. I think we were there for six nights.
Wow.
Maybe five. But, you could really get into being in the city. You could have different people every night. You could network. You could, it was just a, you could really entrench yourself into the, another culture for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I think that's no longer so. Debbie Downer here says it's probably lame.
Okay.
If there's an opinion about it, but I think it's probably pretty quiet.
Okay.
It's a pretty quiet scene, but people are struggling to find a way to play, and yay, music will survive for sure.
And before I let you bounce, how important is it for you to have a connection with your fans, like, through social media? Because obviously a lot of, you know, pop artists and all that sort of stuff, like, it's really propelled them to a new level, especially not needing as much record label support and all that sort of stuff, just sort of growing it on your own. Do you feel that way?
Well, I think that maintaining a connection with my fans is what's going on. Like, now with social media, you can. You don't have to find the person's address and write them a letter and maybe get an answer. We can actually communicate right now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's meaningful to me because that's a major part of what I think my making music as a career is connecting with people. So, I mean, you know, you look at Ricky Gervais, like, it's not like he needs new fans or anything, but he is maintaining his connection with people by doing something that we do,
yeah.
And people can be part of it, you know? So I respect that because, I mean, I happen to be a fan of Ricky Gervais, so I happen to see his posts with his cats all the time, his funny cat. Was it Molly, Millie? I forget. Ollie.
Nice.
And Ollie, who hates him sometimes with one fang. And so I feel even more connected to him. So if I can make someone feel happy with some funny post or something that I put up and maintain a connection, I think that's where it's at, Kelly.
Perfect.
Totally
well,
there.
I think so, too. And I want to thank you for your time today. You've been awesome, and we wish you all the best of luck with the new album.
Thank you very much, Kelly.
That is Canadian jazz artist Susie Arioli, again from Montreal. Make sure to check out her website. You can grab all her social media there and her brand new album, Spring, SusieArioli.com.
Hey, lover boy, don't say there's some other girl.
mysteries of love. Who would we count upon? The dreams that we dreamed of, the stars above. So now I have no regrets, and I'll never forget the tea for two, the me for you, the happy.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show. Follow us on Instagram, Kelly Alexander Show.
As always, thank you so much for joining us on the show this week, and a big thank you going out to our guests, Andra Day, Sultan and Shepherd, and Susie Arioli. Here is your inspirational quote of the week, this time coming from Eleanor Roosevelt. Women are like tea bags. We don't know our true strength until we are in hot water. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media, which you can do on our website, kellyalexandershow.com. And we'd love for you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/kellyalexandershow. Have an excellent week. You and I'll chat soon.